Thank you, Colin, for those songs. Two of them, you asked before if there was any suggestions, and I said no, but two of the ones you picked go right along with this lesson, so good job. Don Francine says hi, she's watching, and don't you ever tell me you can't deliver a message. That message you did for the Lord's Supper was wonderful. Might have to get Mr. Charbonneau scheduled in on Sunday night one of these days. If you would, turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians, can't even read, 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. Preston and Shannon were teasing me on my Spanish pronunciations this morning, and I can't even read English. It's got the 1 Thessalonians right here, and I was calling it Corinthians, but I speak Spanish with a twinge of oaky added in. The songs that I was referring to, Colin led, there was a couple of verses about the coming of the Lord. And one of the things that we had talked about so far in studying 1 Thessalonians was there was a concern. What if a Christian dies before the Lord returned? Are they left out? Have they missed the bus? And Paul addressed that very well in the last chapter that we looked at in chapter 4. It's amazing how some of the things, I mean, we don't really think about that today, but in the first century, Christians were worried, you know, here they've become a Christian, they're remaining faithful, and then brother or sister so-and-so dies. What happens to them? And he addressed that in chapter 4, and then now it's, remember, chapters weren't divided when it was originally written, and he's continuing this thought here, and he says in verse 1, but concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. He's telling them, you've already heard this. I told you this. And I find it interesting. I love studying Paul's teaching methods. As a teacher, you know, I love to look at the different ways Paul approaches things. They were concerned about it. But Paul's building them up. You don't need to worry about this. I've already told you about it once. I've told you again. You don't need to worry about it. He goes on to say, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. That is the main thing Christians then and Christians now need to remember. It's not who's alive at his coming. We need to remember that he's going to return as a thief in the night right when we don't expect it. And we have to be just like them, just like Paul's warning them, we have to be prepared and not caught off guard. Verse 3, for when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. Thank goodness I've never had to experience that. But I've witnessed it, and it comes on. And we need to think of that. We don't need to take our ease and have this attitude like Paul is saying, peace and safety, letting our guard down. Because just when you do, that's when it's going to be there. You know, we do not want to be taken by surprise, ever. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. He's building them up. He's reminding them, you are faithful. It's not going to happen to you like this. Because you're not in darkness. You're not going to be overtaken. You are all sons of light. Excuse me. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. We need to be alert. We need to be fully aware and always on guard. Verse 7, for those who sleep, sleep at night. And those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. This is just a portion of what Paul went into in Ephesians 6 about the armor of God. That we're not wrestling against, you know, physical forces. We're wrestling against principalities and the wiles of the devil. And he does not fight fair. I'm telling you right now, he's in a fight for your soul, our souls. And he doesn't fight fair. And Paul is telling him, you be alert, you be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and the helmet, the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. A minute ago when Don was doing the Lord's Supper, he was mentioning about how Jesus said, it is finished. Jesus was so aware of his mission. He was so aware of the plan of God. He lived his entire life in that. He gave his life in that mission. And just like this, we were part of that story. God set us apart for salvation, not to fall away. We have that power. God has given us that ability to obey or not to obey. But his plan, the maker, the Lord God that made us, his plan and hope for us is that we're saved. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Whether we are alive when the Lord comes back, or whether we pass on like Christians have been doing for 2,000 years, our salvation, it says, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. One of the things that we can do while we're here is to encourage each other, is to build each other up and make sure as many of us get that appointment, get that salvation on that great day. To make sure as many of us finish that race together. Together. To cross that finish line together. The good thing about it is we don't have to beat each other. We have to cross the... I'm glad I don't have to beat Marion. Because I bet you Marion still can pick him up and put him down, being the track star. You know, we just have to finish. Let's finish together. And that's what Paul is telling them, to edify each other and comfort each other with these words, that you are doing it. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. Talking about the spiritual leaders, the elders. And to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. One of these, I'm looking so forward to the day, and Preston prayed for it this morning, which we do often here. One of these days we will have elders and deacons. I'm looking very forward to that. That was, as Paul told Titus, you know, to set in order the things that are lacking, and that was elders. And here Paul is reminding them, you recognize those people that labor amongst you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Not because of necessarily who they are, but for what they're doing. And he said there at the end of 13, be at peace among yourselves. Verse 14, now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. I'll tell you, that verse right there is a sermon all in itself. We are told to warn the unruly. Warn them about what? That they are unruly. Warn them that they are straying outside of God's word. And remind them what could happen if they don't. Comfort the faint-hearted. Every one of us. Dick was talking today about, you said something about the role. I said something about it, and you said, it's more like a roller coaster about life. And, oh, that's right. Yes. Yes, merry-go-rounds and roller coasters, and it's more like a roller coaster. And that's what life is. There are times when life is going swimmingly well. And then all of a sudden, here comes that downward spiral. And you wonder. I was talking to a sister today. We might have to have another conversation about this. There's a sister that can use our help. And financially, she's not asking, but there is a need. And maybe next Sunday we could get together and do something privately for her. But we can talk about that next Sunday morning. Comfort the faint-hearted. There's Christians that go through unbelievable battles. Sometimes they come through these doors, smiles on their faces. But inside, they're fighting battles. Inside, they're barely standing. They're putting on a good face. Sometimes people come in, they need to be here. They need to be around us. And it says, comfort the faint-hearted. If they're not going to get comfort from us, their brothers and sisters, who are they going to get comfort from? The world? Maybe more abuse by the world, but that's what we're here for. Uphold the weak. Those that are about to stumble, that are weak, that they don't know if they can keep going. They're struggling. That's when we come along on either side and we scoop them up under the arms and we keep running the race. helping them. We don't just run by them, see you, sucker. Zoom. Things are fine with me. Uphold the weak. Be patient. Can I get some white out and be patient with all? Wow, you're really asking a lot, Paul. With all? Now some it's easy to be patient with. But somebody, oh, Paul says be patient with all. Man. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone. Where did that come from? I'm doing pretty good in a lot of the things that Paul writes, but then he comes up with these things. See that no one renders evil for evil. This is one of the toughest things that I personally read in the Bible. And in the New Testament, this is a tough one for me. I like to think I'm a pretty nice guy. I like to think. But I got a streak in me. That verse 15, verse 14 and 15, I have to be reminded of regularly. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. Paul also wrote in Romans 12:19, he says, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay." I need to remember, it's not my job for revenge. It's not my job to repay evil for evil. One, it's not good for me to do. It's not good for me. In fact, it's bad for me to do. And God does it much better. God, if you read the Old Testament, God can get it done. It is, that verse is mentioned three times. It's Romans 12:19, Hebrews 10:30, and originally in Deuteronomy 32:35. And three times it's repeated. I guess people need to hear that. Repay. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone. Then he goes into, kind of, don't do this. But instead, do this. Verse 16, rejoice always. Always. When things are going good, always. When I've got that promotion at work, always. When I've got a health issue, always. When my world is falling apart, always. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. If we don't do those things, we're kind of putting a blanket and quenching that Spirit. Don't quench the Spirit that's in us. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. I'm reminded of in Acts 17:11, the Bereans, where it says they studied the Scriptures daily. Daily to see. That's not an offense to a teacher or a preacher. That you study to see if what they're saying is so or not, that's not offensive. And Paul tells you to do this. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Every form. Don't see how close you can get to the line. Stay as far. Abstain from every form of evil. Don't even flirt with evil. Paul said in going back to Romans 12 in verse 9, he says, abhor evil. Despise it. Hate it. Verse 23, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to return. You make sure that your whole spirit, soul, and body is preserved blameless. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. I find it so interesting that the man who is such an encouragement to others and teaches others is asking prayers from them. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss, except under COVID conditions. Greet the brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren. We have been reading Paul's work for 2,000 years. 2,000 years. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Wouldn't that be nice if the peace, the completeness that Jesus had, even in pain on the cross, like Don said, it is finished. Wouldn't it be great if we could have that same peace, that we've done all that we could do? Like the sermon this morning, the lesson this morning, she has done what she could. The lesson is yours. I've enjoyed going over 1 Thessalonians. My next time, we're going to start 2 Thessalonians. So read ahead and be ready for it. If you need to respond to the invitation through prayers or repentance or anything, please.